Your Adrenaline Song, probably the number one played youth group song in the history of Christian radio. Just a fun song celebrating that Jesus says, come with me to my Father's house. Come with me. It's a big, big house. And for me, when I would listen to this song, literally every time I hear the song, there's a line that says, a big, big yard where we can play football. And growing up as a kid, that was my favorite thing to do in our neighborhood was play football. We played, you know, several sports during the year, but playing football was the best. We played loco, which is basically murder the kid with the ball. We played teams, and it was always tackle. But I have this image of our Thanksgiving at my dad's parents' home. My dad had, he was the oldest of five children, and do I have that right? Yeah. And Thanksgiving was always at 1 o'clock, and I had a lot of cousins that were guys, and every Thanksgiving in the backyard, we played football. And one uncle, he was the cool younger uncle, he was always the all-time quarterback, and we had big games every Thanksgiving, and of course, you know, a big table with all this food. I want to tell you, it's going to be great in heaven. The Father's house is going to be amazing. And if you remember what we looked into last week at the John 14 passage, that Jesus goes and prepares a place for you in this Father's house. And I can just imagine that Daryl Young, Rosie's good to have you here today, bless you, Mary Young, that he was an outdoorsman. So in his big yard, there is a fishing hole, so he can be fishing. And Mary said, and all of his uncles and dads and others, they're all fishing together. And so I want to remind us that, oh, it's going to be so good. And yet, if we look carefully, how God was really viewing this. And I'll even say one more. I'll read the last line of this song that we didn't get to the end. He said, all I know is you need love. I've got a family. And all I know is you're all alone. So why not come with me to my Father's house? You know, this title of this series that we're in is Perfect Love Cast Out Fear. And I've been trying each week to build up the perfect love of the Father. Because as it builds up, your fear is doing this. As His love in your heart and your understanding is in, fear is doing this. It's going down as His love is rising. But Jesus said in John 14:6, at the end of that little description where Jesus, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. And someone asked, well, how are we going to get there, Jesus? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So even then, Jesus saying, really the focal point of the house is the Father. I want to get you to my Father. I want you to be near him. I want you to experience a home that is safe, that's secure. Because the Father of the house has this incredible love and closeness for us. I believe that this message from Jesus in the Gospel of John 14, and over again, God is wanting to crush loneliness in our lives. To say, you're not alone. You have, through me, the Father. So I even addressed a definition of home. It's where you hear, beloved, you are safe and secure in the Father's love. And that's his peace. So good to have Tom Fennell, our old friend here. His dear, sweet, beloved wife, Barbara, passed away a few weeks ago. She's in that big house. What a privilege. And we pray for you as well with these families that are grieving in the midst of these great losses. I want to go on in chapter 14. I want to share something with you that you may not have really take much notice for in the past. But this is an incredible passage of John 14 where I think I've told you before, John 13 through 17, much of it is read, meaning the words of Jesus. It's his last words with his disciples before he was betrayed. And there's so much, there's a whole lot of agape love repeated over and over. There's a lot of the Father repeated and sections about the Holy Spirit. And here's one of them where it starts talking about the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to give you another helper. That's the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for that is parakletos. A paraclete is someone, something that comes alongside you and helps you, comes alongside, doesn't get ahead of you and pull you and drag you, doesn't get behind you and push you, and it's come alongside you. That's what how the Holy Spirit is described, a helper, a comforter, counselor. And so it says that this helper, this Holy Spirit, will dwell with you and even will be in you. He'll be so close, he'll be in you. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And so you'll have truth teaching you, with you, guiding you all the way. And then Jesus is praying. No, he's not praying in this. It's chapter 17, sorry. Verse 18 of John 14, that's where I'm going to read right now. It says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. And I want us to highlight this sentence because it's actually got a lot of depth to it. Because what people are finding in ministry is that we live, and we'll get back into adoption here in a few minutes. People live either with the mindset of, I'm adopted son or daughter of the king. I've been pursued and treasured. Or they live with an orphan mentality. Even as believers, that I'm alone. I'm fighting all by myself. I'm fighting and struggling and it's not coming together for me. And I feel alone. And so this statement is really a powerful one. Jesus declares, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I don't, your past is what it is, but I will not and do not leave you as orphans. In fact, I will come to you. And as he just already described, this pursuing is by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit actually comes in us, He is with us. See, Christ's mission is to crush orphan thinking. No, you're not alone. He wants these thought patterns of being all by yourself, and then this loneliness produces insecurities, anxieties, fears in our motivations. Several resources I really like. I want to throw this up there again and add one this week. Jack Frost, he has passed away. His wife Trish and family still minister, but their website is shallowplace.org. I've gone through many of their teaching tapes over the years. I've got a couple of their books. I'm even going through them again. One's called Slavery to Sonship. Another one's called Embracing the Father's Love. It's just powerful material. He has a lot of teachings from his testimony, from a life growing up, from the family he grew up in, then became a Christian. He was still in orphan thinking, even as a minister, as a Christian minister in his family, and he was hurting his children, his wife, and then God had to give him, even after being a Christian, another dose of the Father's love so he could live as a son and pour out the Father's love through him to his children. So the testimonies and teachings go hand in hand. Another one, it's just called Healing the Orphan Spirit. It's just direct right up by Leif Hetland, and I've heard him speak on this subject. He's very good. So one of his disciples in this conversation, John 14, says, you know, well, how are you going to show yourself to us? You said you're going to come to us. You're not going to leave us. He's telling him, I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to leave you. And he said, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will come to you. It's by your spirit, by the Spirit, right? And this is, Jesus wants to clarify something in verse 23. So Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. So now he's saying we, the Father and the Son, we will make our home in you. You say yes to me and you're going to follow me and be a disciple and obey my commands. We'll start right now. Hey, there's a big, big house in heaven. It's awesome. Big, big backyard with the fishing hole. But hey, right now we can start you having a home with us right in the middle of it, right now. Well, this sense of home, of you are beloved, you're safe and secure in the Father's love. We can have that today. God wants it today. I know that He has worked this in me so that I can at any day, really any time, I can run into the Father's lap as a treasured son of the King. I want you to have something, an experience like that on a, where you can go there quickly. So this big eternity, hopeful of eternal home actually starts right now. So here's another aspect of home. Home means covenant love. When you're born in a family, your blood, it's assumed that you're going to be, you've got your family the rest of your life. You're in covenant the rest of your life. This is how God designed it. This is how God wanted it. If you're adopted into the family, you're a legal member of the family. You have a home, a family. You have covenant love for the rest of your life. That's how God wanted it. It hasn't turned out that way with all of us, has it? And because of living in a fallen world, because of sins against one another and against us and broken marriages and fathers and mothers leaving, of dying at a young age, of just leaving and being non-existent, that is something that really most people don't experience that. That home and family equal covenant love. And so that's why Jesus is being emphatic. I'm going to come to you. I'm coming after you. I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm coming to you. And in fact, my Father and I will come and make our home in you. Because he knew that we will all need it. Because even our good earthly dads and moms that tried fell way short of that perfect love of the Father. And we need a revelation. We need an experience, an encounter with this. When Delisa hugs me, I feel at home. Doesn't matter if we're at home or not. Because those arms mean covenant love. Not just love, but covenant love. And that's what God does with us. And by the Spirit, it's as close as we can get to Him. I dedicated my heart to Christ as a senior, late in my senior year in high school. And it was kind of a quick work there where then I ended up choosing to go to Christian college. And my first semester there, I heard a teaching out of John 17, verse 3. Because I had just been convinced over those several months, God is God. He's the creator. He knows everything. He's the smartest one. Of course, if I'm going to pray to something or someone, I'm going to pray to God. Because He's smarter than anyone. He knows best. He can look down the future. He knows best. So I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to follow your rules and regulations. Because if you have some rules and regulations, if you have some do's and don'ts, I'm going to do them because you're smart, smarter than anybody else. And so I was starting to try to grow in wisdom, to have this understanding of God's do's and don'ts and rules and regulations. And then I heard a teaching on John 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may, and this is Jesus is praying to the Father in this chapter, that they may know you, Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That this knowing is not knowing about Him, because I went to church for years as a kid. It wasn't knowing about Him. I had that. It was knowing Him in relationship. That is what eternal life is. It starts right now. And that's what this chapter 14 says. We want relationship with you so close. We want to make our home with you. We're in covenant lifelong love with each other. Receive this covenant love. Receive my Father's love. Don't block it. Don't avoid it. Don't look for something else. This is a key to our freedom from fear. A key to blockages. A key to revealing we have ungodly beliefs in our mind. Habit patterns as an orphan, feeling alone, thinking, patterns of thinking, aloneness and hopelessness. Oh, running in the Father's arms. And those patterns need to be retrained. Oh, but there was so much pain in my home in the past. I don't want to even talk about this. Open up to the Father's love. This scripture that I've based this title on is 1 John 4:18. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. I want to get into, Lord willing, some types of fears and how, again, as the Father's love is realized in your heart and mind, these fears go down and get expelled out, pushed out. I want to go to Romans chapter 8. I know a couple weeks ago I mentioned another passage about adoption, but I want to hit it again with this passage. It's a little different. Romans 8, starting at verse 14. Says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." So here we've got this privilege of being led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside us. Verse 15, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." See, what happens is, it says, to receive the spirit of bondage again. These were Christians. This was a letter written to Roman Christians saying that, hey, yeah, you became a Christian, but then you returned back into bondage again. Thinking like an orphan. Thinking that you can earn his love and not just receive it. Thinking that you've got to fight for it. You've got to, you're all alone. You got to make it happen. No, just run into the Father's arms and receive the Father's love. Don't go back into a slavery of fear. So this spirit of adoption is the Father and Son choosing us, coming after us, making his home in us. And we have, everyone is created with this deep desire that says, cries out, Abba, Father. Oh, how I need you. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Your spirit needs to sense this. It needs to know it. It's not just a head thing. You can tell it affects your whole being. I know in my knower, I have a sensing. I have this place deep inside of me that I have a witness that I am a daughter. I'm a treasured daughter. I'm a beloved daughter. I'm a beloved son. This is where we want to live. This is eternity in us. This is the home that starts now, a home that lasts into eternity. This verse 16 just says it again. It's never been in the design of God that we have an orphan mentality. It's always been that Jesus comes into our hearts and our hearts cry out, Abba, Father. And we get back into rules and regulations and I need to do better to earn his love. I need to do more to make it happen. I need to this. And you become in bondage to shoulds and shouldn'ts and do's and don'ts to earn it, to make it happen. You're not in receive mode. You're into get mode. I'm going to earn it. I'm going to do it. I deserve it. You've got to give it to me because of this. Listen, no, rest. Now, verse 17 is such a powerful, almost hard to imagine that this could be true. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So Jesus is receiving his inheritance and he's saying, hey, guess what? We're children of God. Jesus is the Son of God, the big capital S, and when you read it in the Bible, right, capital Son of God. But we're sons and daughters too. We're children too. We get to be a part of this. Inheritance is ours. This is a legal term. You're adopted. It's legal. You have inheritance. It's legal. This is God's pouring out his blessings and love on us, and we live like we're fighting all alone. We got to make it happen. We have to earn it. No. You receive it as a family member. The inheritance. Oh, I love that. It's like Jesus is our brother. He's our lead brother. He's the one that leads the way. But we get to step into this inheritance. There's these blessings of the inheritance. You can see it right in this passage. There's many passages that mention inheritance. And if you just look at it, it's just repeated in the scriptures. But here we're led by the Holy Spirit is one blessing. We're no more slave to fear and bondage. We can cry out, Abba, Father, and he hears us. We're not alone. We're a child of God. And whatever this means, we're glorified together. You know that's going to be good. That when we're raised and go to heaven, we get a glorified body and we live in eternity. We're glorified together with Jesus. I want to go to another passage where Jesus is quoted in one of the Gospels where he said the term Abba. Now, if you've heard me talk about Abba, it's Aramaic for daddy, for dad, for papa. You hear it today in Israel. It's actually one of the easiest words that a baby forming new words can say. Abba. Abba. And he says this, recorded in Mark chapter 14. Let me give you what's happening right now. It's the night that Jesus was betrayed. And he tells his now 11 disciples, Judas has already gone away to betray him. And they go up to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on a hillside. On the other, you can look right into the gates of Israel, Jerusalem there. And he said, let's pray. And I'm going to ask you to watch and pray for me, because this is a big night. I need your support right now. I need you to be praying and watching what's going on around here. And then he takes three of his closest friends, disciples, Peter, James, and John. He goes a little bit farther and he tells them honestly. He says, I'm troubled. I'm deeply distressed. So Jesus is emotional. We often think of the old photographs, which I've done before, of Jesus just always this peaceful, very quiet man. He is having a moment of emotional just overload, where it's as intense as his stress could get. He's feeling it. Folks, he knows that it's not only torturing physically on the worst torturing system known to man at that time, the Roman crucifixion, but he is getting a glimpse of him taking on sin, even though he's never sinned. And then his father, who he's so close to, what will happen to the father? He is feeling this unknown. No one's done this before. He can't read it in the Old Testament and get all the details. Well, Psalm 22 says a lot about it, doesn't it? Of being attacked by demons in all direction. So this is what he says in verse 34. Then Jesus said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch. He went a little further and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. So he admitted he was not hiding. He couldn't shield it. I am so overwhelmed, even to the point of death emotionally. There's another description of this in the Gospel of Luke, and it said that when he was distressed and he's praying, he's in agony, and that out of his sweat pores come drops of blood. His face was so red and intense in the intensity, it was coming out in drops of blood. And he's honest. This perfect man who didn't sin is being honest about how he's looking into this unknown. Father, Abba, Daddy, it's going to be really rough. If you can possibly come up with another way, may this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not your will, but mine be done. He said that prayer. His disciples, he found out, were falling asleep. He said, please keep watching, pray. He goes back. It says he prayed it again. He didn't get an answer. He was going to have to walk through this suffering. The suffering wasn't going to leave anytime soon. It was only going to get worse. It was the beginning, wasn't it? And he said, nevertheless, your will be done, not mine. There was an empowerment for him to stay obedient. Thank you, Jesus, for staying obedient to your Father. That you are asking, is there any other way out of this? Can this still happen for our children that we want to go reach? Is there any other way? So what I want to say to us is that in the midst of the unknown, in the midst of potential suffering, in the midst of suffering and pain, go ahead, call out to Abba. Go ahead, be honest with them. Don't hold back. Say what's going on inside of you, because God is not scared of that. He wants to meet you there in that place of pain and suffering. So what's our inheritance out of just watching Jesus here? Is that in the midst of suffering, we receive the Father's love and remain a trusting son and daughter. Because that's a good time to be receiving the Father's love when you're in the midst of suffering. And there is an intimacy of that place of home inside of you. When you realize, I'm going through H-E-L-L, but God, I feel your closeness. It's a different type of intimacy. It's a different type of closeness, and I need it, and you're with me. Your hand's in my hand. You're close to me. You've been through this too. That we still trust him with our future, trust him with our present. We still trust him and remain obedient. We don't run from the Father. We don't look for another source. We know it can't come from any other place. God is our source. It's like a little child, isn't it? A child who's scared, who's hurt, and she runs into the Father's lap. She runs into Mommy's lap. And she knows it's going to get better. She doesn't know what's going to happen next. She doesn't know what Mommy or Daddy's going to do. But little boy, little girl runs into the lap and trusts. I want to give you a quick little parallel here. Peter and John, top level disciples, followers of Christ. Peter was said, I will never forsake you, Jesus. I will stay faithful. And Jesus said, well, before the night is over, you'll deny me three times. He said, no. John is called the disciple whom Jesus loved. Most of us, when we read that, we think, wow, that's kind of bold to say that. He kind of, is he being a little, you know, braggadocious or something? And it shows John in this, John chapter 13, with the Last Supper, where he's leaning on the breast of Jesus. And Peter said, ask him this question, get the secret out of him. So they saw this love relationship. And what it is John knows, hey, I know how to receive the Father's love. I know how to receive the love of Jesus. I'm the one that Jesus loved. He just loved me. And guess what? That's our foundation. That's how we love him back. We need his love to love him. Peter was, I'm not going to forsake you. I'm strong. I'm a fisherman. I can do this. I'm not going to forsake you. And he did later that night. And John was there at the crucifixion, as far as you know, the only disciple. And Jesus said, hey, mom, look, your son John, he's going to take care of you. So John lasted to the end. He put, well, guess what? Jesus did the same thing. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son. Why do they have to, he has to say this. And has given all things into his hand, but we find it repeated. He's saying, the Father loves the Son, Jesus. I needed it and I received it. John 15:9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Do you realize what that just said? The level of love from the Father for his son Jesus, we get too. We're adopted, and there's no secondhand love going on here. Secondhand covenant love, loyalty. No, we get to receive the same. Folks, man, this is happy time. This is amazing. We should be walking and crushing over loneliness, crushing over anxieties, crushing. We receive the same love that Jesus received. Abide in my love. It's the same that I receive. Going on in John 5, verse 20. For the Father loves the Son. Got to say it again, over again. And shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father, listen to this verse, this is remarkable. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. So he's delegated this authority as judge to the Son. And so the Father, he doesn't judge us. Jesus says, this is a great Father, a good, good Father. There's no reason except our hurt and pain from our own home and families to draw back from the Father's love. And that's why he wants to heal us. I'm going to ask the worship team to go ahead and come on up. So once you hear, and the altar ministry teams as well, so once you hear that Peter tried to, with his determination, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be the one, and John just received his love. When Jesus, over and over, it says, for the Father loves the Son, Jesus. Hey, let's just receive. We want to be a good father in our families, a good grandfather, a good mother, grandmother. We want to be a good spiritual father. But we start by learning to be a loving daughter, a loving son. We start with sonship to receive his love. And then that transforms us. And then we can give that love away. Our altar times are for anything going on in your life, at work or family, finances. We want to stand with you. Health issues, we want to stand with you. These steps down here, I'll be here. They're also available to say, I need to experience the Father's love. I'm in a place in my life that I do feel alone. And I don't want to live like that. We're here to pray for you that I'm just racked with anxiety and fear, and I'm a slave to that. I need God to wash by his love these fears away. I know God loves me, but I don't really believe that deep inside. I have ungodly beliefs, and I need more of the Father's love. This last song chosen for this day, let the words and the truths here of this last song really minister to you. And I'll dismiss you in a little bit.
You unravel me with a melody.
Amen.
You surround me with a song of deliverance. from my enemies. All my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Yes, I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Child of God. I'm a child of God.
You split the sea so I walk right through it. My fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescue me so I can stand and see.
Perfect love, hallelujah. We receive it, Father. We receive
you
it.
You rescued me so I could stand and see. I am a child of God. Yes, I am a child of God.
Oh, thank you, Father, for your perfect love. Rise, Father, in our hearts. Rise in our soul. Heal our souls. Restore us, O Father. You don't judge us. You just adopt us. You come after us and make your home in us. We're so grateful. You're blessed this week to walk in a new grace of the Father's love. Jesus Christ paid a great price on the cross. When he took your sin and my sin unto him and say, my blood will wash you clean. And he rose from the grave to defeat death and sin. So we receive. That's part of our inheritance. Eternal life. If you're watching me online, if you're here today, I strongly encourage you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, make this the start. If you've been far away, you need to come back. Make this the start. have a friend or one of us or someone before you leave to pray a salvation prayer where you turn from your sin, receive his forgiveness, and say, yes, I believe in your cross and in your resurrection. I am yours. Your home is now in me. Let this be the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing over us. Jesus, you want us to experience your Father's love. You're such a good son. You are loved by the Father, and we get to receive the same love. Lord, we want that today, this week. You're blessed to go. You're blessed to stay and worship some more. If you could do that song again.